Hi, hi. The episode that follows is part of a 7-episode series on the trans allegory of I Saw the TV Glow. Spoilers abound. Be sure you've watched the movie before listening. It's very, very trans, so beautiful and so important, but it is very emotionally heavy. You'll want to be in a good headspace and heart space before watching, and be sure to have someone to hug after. Onward we go. Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. Tilly Vision burns through re-entry in the intentional trans allegory of I Saw the TV Glow, Part 6. Dysphoria and transphobia are coming for us with everything they've got, and it exacts a heavy toll. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the lady who's never charged me a toll, Susan Bridges.
Wow. Guess you brought it out, huh?
Well, you're trying. Okay, listen. First, our returning guest is the redoubtable champion, Lila Sturges.
Redoubtable.
Welcome back, Lila.
I'm redoubtable. Yay.
Okay,
This all feels strangely familiar.
Yeah, if this sounds maybe a little more polished than the others, it's because somebody forgot to turn on the recording the first time we did this.
You don't need to tell everyone.
Listen, I'm not hiding my truth from the world, okay? I put it all out there. I screwed up really bad. So here we are doing it again so that all of you can hear it this time. What a neat idea to do for a podcast.
But then you also thought of stuff you didn't mentioned the first time around, and Lila thought of stuff she did.
So it's going to be better.
It's going to be even better. You should record them all twice.
Yeah, we had a rehearsal, and it went
great.
Right. Okay. Okay, here we go. 58 minutes, 27 seconds. Owen kept the pink opaque tapes in a pink pillowcase, hidden away from the world. 59 minutes, 3 seconds. Owen surrounded by dysphoria and fear. Owen. A little while after Maddie disappeared, she sent me one final tape in the mail. 59 minutes, 16 seconds. Owen is bathed in pink, watching the final episode. Isabel. Mr. Melancholy is coming. Tara. If we're going to defeat him this time, we're going to need to harness the full potential of our shared powers. Again, community. Maddie is Owen's axe. None of us can do it alone. 59 minutes, 20 seconds. Look at the sky over them. Fear and danger and despair, but the transness covers it all. 59 minutes, 40 seconds. A shot of the back of Tara in a black tank top with her pink opaque tattoo on the back of her neck. Why is this shot here? It's setting up a later shot. We'll get there in a minute. 59 minutes, 53 seconds. Owen. But then, as Isabel approaches, she picks something up, a stray signal from the psychic plane. It's a desperate message from Tara, the real Tara. She's buried underground in terrible danger. 1 hour, 27 seconds. Isabel lies in a grave, spitting up Luna juice, sadness, and internalized transphobia fed to her by Mr. Melancholy, trying to kill her transness. Static flies across the screen, transphobia obscuring the truth. 1 hour, 33 seconds. As Owen watches, still covered in blue, we hear static. Transphobia is obscuring his truth, too, because he is Isabel. 1 hour, 37 seconds. A shot of the back of Marco, the bearded moon woman, but in a black tank top and with a pink opaque tattoo, matching the shot of Tara I mentioned at 59 minutes, 40 seconds. So when Marco turns, it's revealed that's not Tara. It's a scary mockery of what you want to become. And that's how you think the world will see you, because that's what the world teaches you, that you will see and become if you transition. And this confirms what I said when Marco and Polo first appeared. This is what society and internalized transphobia tell us. All we'll ever be seen as are men in dresses and women with beards.
And that there's something villainous about it as well.
Right.
That being trans, that there's some villainy involved, that we're all,
it's
like,
bad.
We're working for the trans industrial complex or the, you know,
we're working for big trans.
Big trans, yes. That it couldn't just be that we're just who we are. It's that we are, you know, hench people of something else.
Of the trans agenda.
Yes.
It's also because it looks like it's Tara.
Right. And that
it's not, yeah, like the trickery aspect.
Oh, yeah.
Trans women, mm-hmm, are tricking you.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. We're tricksters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But again, neither I nor this movie are saying there's anything wrong with being a bearded lady or a man in a dress if that's who you are. That is cool. But this is metaphor, and that's a very real bit of transphobia society worms into trans men and trans women, all to scare you and keep you from ever transitioning. 1 hour, 48 seconds. As Polo drags Isabel away, the static returns, obscuring things, and it happens at her most intense screams. Owen hurt himself and obscured his own truth by locking Isabel away. And what did he do with her? 1 hour, 1 minute, 17 seconds. Polo walks with a beating heart on a platter. Owen, they cut out her heart. 1 hour, 1 minute, 21 seconds. The heart is put inside despair and dysphoria. And on the first time through, Susan, you had a great observation here that the hearts were still beating,
right,
which is very important. Mm-hmm. I want to bring that back.
Not totally dead.
It's not dead.
There's still hope.
There's still hope. Your heart is still there. Yes.
Also, there, it's an industrial freezer, which I think,
yes,
is important.
Is.
Yeah. That it's not just, Mr. Melancholy isn't just some freewheeling freelancer. He is the system.
He's prepared for this. This is what,
yeah,
he does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 1 hour, 1 minute, 33 seconds. And she's given Luna juice. This is transphobia from Moon Man, Mr. Melancholy. She took the transphobia inside herself, literal internalized transphobia, and it buried her truth, effectively killing Isabel. 1 hour, 1 minute, 50 seconds, Owen. And then he makes his entrance, Mr. Melancholy, the big bad. And look at the lighting on him, it's dysphoria and despair, and that is all that it brings. And he's creepy as hell.
He's so creepy. And I think really need to give a shout out to everyone involved in the creation of the look of Mr. Melancholy, which is just,
yeah,
par excellence. You know, I don't know if it was this time through or the last time how we talked about how Mr. Melancholy kind of resembles the moon in that old,
yeah, yeah,
that very, very old cinematic effort, I believe, called From the Earth to the Moon.
Yeah.
He's really creepy, but the way that his face keeps changing and sort of like evolving, but never going anywhere. And
yeah,
it's just so, so disturbing.
It's very unsettling.
Very unsettling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Susan, you made that great observation before about how old-timey.
Old-timey, mm-hmm, the design of Mr. Melancholy and Marco and Polo. Like,
right.
They could be from the 50s or 40s or...
Or earlier, yeah, because it's the same old transphobia that's always been around.
Right. It's not different. Too. It's just recycled,
yep,
from so many other things. It's just,
right,
recycled, you know... Sexism,
yeah,
recycled homophobia.
Yep.
That's all that current transphobia really is.
And we see Mr. Melancholy's got Owen's transness trapped and held in the prison of a snow globe. Remember what Maddie asked Owen back at the double lunch? Or do you ever have a hard time distinguishing between what happened in the show and what happened in real life? Like somehow the memories got jumbled around, shook up in your head like a snow globe. Transphobia has locked down Owen's transness and jumbled his thoughts so he doesn't know what's real, so he will not and cannot accept his truth. And it's not just pink inside the snow globe, but it contains the TV with pink on it, and Owen watching. It's literally locking away Owen's ability to access his truth and transness. 1 hour, 2 minutes, 8 seconds. Mr. Melancholy licks Isabel's face. It's domination as Luna juice leaks out of her, showing you it's still inside her. Transphobia traps, controls, and owns Isabel, and it is disgusting. It is so uncomfortable to watch. Do not like.
No good.
1 hour, 2 minutes, 18 seconds. Mr. Melancholy, don't fight it. Let my poison work its magic. You're going to love the Midnight Realm. It's such a wonderful, wonderful prison. 1 hour, 2 minutes, 40 seconds. Mr. Melancholy shakes up the snow globe. Static, chaos, everything is jumbled and unclear. 1 hour, 2 minutes, 54 seconds. Mr. Melancholy, shh. It's okay. Soon you won't remember anything. Your real name, your superpowers, your heart. You won't even remember that you're dying. And that's what living with dysphoria forced into that prison is. It's death. It's worse than death. Death before detransition is a saying for a reason. 1 hour, 3 minutes, 22 seconds. Static, both seen and heard, as Owen's image, entirely blue, becomes fuzzy and flickers in and out.
You know, I just had a little moment of understanding, which is that I've been thinking about Mr. Melancholy, and one of the things that's so kind of chilling about him is that he's very gentle, right? He doesn't yell and scream. He's not violent. He is very soothing and gentle when he's talking to Isabel. And I think that that is on purpose. I think that there is like some of the most powerful things that hold us back as trans people is people meaning well, you know, and being gentle with us in ways that are intended to keep us in cis society, you know, like, hey, you know, that's kind of, you know, girly what you're doing, you know. I mean, sometimes with me, it wasn't like people wouldn't say things like, you can't do that, that's for girls. But they'd be like, oh, wouldn't you rather have this? You know, wouldn't you rather play with this G.I. Joe, you know?
Yeah.
Like they were
doing
me a
favor. They think they're
helping. They think
exactly.
They're helping.
Yeah. That's a great observation.
Thank you.
1 hour, 3 minutes, 43 seconds. The sky now looks like a shaken snow globe. Isabel is in the grave, Luna juice leaking out of her mouth. Owen, they bury her alive. Very much what suppressing your true self is. Your life becomes a waking death. And then it just ended. Forever. Darkness. Nothing. 1 hour, 4 minutes, 28 seconds. Owen gasps for breath in front of the television because Isabel, his true self, was just buried alive. Worth noting again that one of the ways I described my own gender dysphoria was like drowning in being unable to breathe. See the episode on it for more. 1 hour, 4 minutes, 40 seconds. That kitchen is all dysphoria and fear. A fire alarm beeps. Owen's dad walks through and down to the basement where Owen is. 1 hour, 4 minutes, 50 seconds. A phone is off the hook. Communication with the true self is lost due to, what color is the phone? Yellow. Fear, and what did Owen just do to himself? It all tracks. 1 hour, 4 minutes, 56 seconds. Owen smashed his head into the television. He tries to get back to Isabel, to his true self, to the pink opaque, even though he just buried her and gave it all up. The sparks are blue, sadness and despair. But note, in all the sparks and chaos and flashing lights, the pink is still there. You can deny your transness, but that doesn't make it go away.
Yeah, this scene is... It's the first scene that made me cry. And I think it's just because Owen's sadness, dejection is so plain, right?
Yeah.
And because the way that he's trying to like bash himself into the TV in order to get what he needs is so there's something really pathetic about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know that I have felt that way in the past, pre-transition, like you harm yourself in order to try and get what you need. And it doesn't feel good. And, oh, it's so hard to watch. That and the following scene in the shower are just really, really rough. Yeah.
They are. Yeah, and I had moments like that too, where even when I would explore my transness and I would feel that horrible shame afterward and like, what is wrong with me? I should never do this again. But then part of me would be like, but you want to do this again. And that would make me feel even worse, right? I'd be like, I want to get back to that. But why would you want to do that? What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Why do I want to keep sticking my finger in this electrical socket? It makes no sense.
1 hour, 5 minutes, 14 seconds. In the very yellow, fear-filled bathroom, Owen screams, this isn't my home. You're not my father. This is him fighting back, trying to reject the false cis reality and to reject masculinity. 1 hour, 5 minutes, 29 seconds. Owen expels the blue despair of the Luna juice, trying to purge all his internalized transphobia, but notice that the static returns.
And the bathroom is a gendered space again.
It is. Well, the home bathrooms are less so than public bathrooms.
True. Right.
Yeah. 1 hour, 5 minutes, 45 seconds. Once again, we see the burning TV. On the commentary, Jane said they thought they needed this shot here, but didn't know why. I think, subconsciously, they knew what this symbolized for Owen. His fear was still too great, and he killed Isabel and then regretted it and wanted her back. But his fear still kept him from saving her. 1 hour, 5 minutes, 56 seconds. Owen is open and naked with himself in the mirror. There's fear and dysphoria everywhere, and that is not the face of someone who likes that reflection or even sees themselves in it. And so he immediately hides himself in a muted gray, dull and lifeless. 1 hour, 6 minutes, 35 seconds. He leaves the house and sees two men near the street. Chalk on the sidewalk behind them is jumbled. Sadness abounds. There's lots of transness still, but even the transness is sad now. He is kept from his transness by, judging by their posture and silence, sad men, which is what he knows he will become if he doesn't let Isabel out. And these are the two actors who were in Pete and Pete, another kid teen show from back at the time, but I've never seen it, so I don't know the significance of having them here.
I've never seen it either, and so I cannot be of help in this. But I do think it's great that Jane, I'm sure this TV show means something to Jane, right?
Yes.
And that they were able to just go out and be like, you know, there's some my pop culture icons could possibly be available to be in my film. And so I'm going to get them to be in my movie. And I kind of love that.
I mean, that's what I would do. I mean, if we ever get to make something of our own, I would hire every lady who was ever in Star Trek because that's the coolest thing. I love them. So
I'd
watch
them
in her stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get them all together.
I think it could also be like blurring the lines between the fantasy and reality.
Sure.
Having these actors or people you recognize from other shows. Mm-hmm. Like, is this TV? Is this real?
Well, I don't know how recognizable they are because they were kids on the show. You know, when people grow up, they look a bit different. But that there's a good, I mean, people who saw the show would have a better,
be like, oh, yeah.
Better insight on that. Yeah.
And I think it's the same, you know, it's the same kind of moment as when Amber Benson shows up as Johnny Link's mom.
Yeah.
Right.
And just reminding you, you are watching a fiction. Because the Midnight Realm is a fiction.
Right, it is. 1 hour, 6 minutes, 42 seconds. Inside the inflatable planetarium, which as we discussed before, was the place where he'd have to finally choose. And so it's no coincidence this is where we get Maddie's story about her choice to become Tara. Also note how important it is that Maddie tells us this story rather than us seeing it in flashback. This is all about what these events did to her. Pay attention to the words she says and what she doesn't say and her emotions and expressions as she says them. This is some remarkable acting, but it's also fantastic writing to know that telling us this story through Maddie is so much better and more intimate and emotional than seeing it as flashbacks could ever be. Because what's important is what it all did to Maddie and how she felt about it. I made it all the way to Phoenix on the money I'd saved. Now, a phoenix dies and is reborn anew, going through a transition. Phoenixes are very trans, conceptually. The trees looked different, but everything else was exactly the same. The green of dysphoria was different, but nothing else had changed yet. Transition is a process, and it takes time. It doesn't all change the moment you decide to embrace your true self. Wish it did. I started using a new name, Supertext, sleeping at the cheapest hostel I could find. Trans people are often poor due to losing homes and jobs and bigotry in hiring us. Being out and trans in a highly transphobic world is hard, and it shouldn't be. The pink opaque was over. It was no longer the goal she couldn't see past. I got a job at the mall, at Build-A-Bear, filling the dolls up with stuffing, constructing a body the way you want it to be. I got out of that town, that place I knew would kill me if I stayed. But something was still wrong, wronger even. Time wasn't right. 1 hour, 7 minutes, 55 seconds. Hopefully you've been paying attention to the colors on Maddie in the inflatable planetarium and on and around Owen as he approaches her. Look at when he enters the hall toward the gymnasium and it's all red down there. No matter what his final choice is, there's danger. If he transitions, he could lose everything but himself. If he doesn't transition, he will keep everything he has but lose his true self. This is what society does to us, makes it dangerous no matter what we do. 1 hour, 7 minutes, 57 seconds. Maddie. Time was moving too fast. And then I was 19, and then I was 20. I felt like one of those dolls, asleep in the supermarket, stuffed. You lose time from dissociating like you're asleep through your life. See the Trans Tuesdays on trans grief and all the years I lost from dissociating and the memories that were lost with them. Also, it's always been weird to me, that line, the supermarket, because you don't normally find dolls in a supermarket, but it may be a callback to the earlier scene with Owen in the supermarket, kind of lost and trapped.
Could be.
Yeah, I think this entire monologue is all symbolic language. It's not meant to evoke a reality in the world of the Midnight Realm. I think that it is the testimony itself that's important, but
right.
I don't want to talk about that until you have mentioned another thing.
Okay, we'll get there.
Okay.
And then I was 21, like chapters skipped over in a DVD. I told myself this isn't normal. This isn't how life is supposed to be. I thought about running away again, about moving to Santa Fe and changing my name one more time. I see this as Maddie thinking she was a trans man, but discovering that wasn't right either, and she was in fact non-binary. But I knew that everywhere would be just the same. I had seen how it ended. I knew where I was. A little bit after my 22nd birthday, I paid this burnout kid who used to hit on me in the food court $50 to bury me alive. I mean, he didn't know he was burying me alive, but I doubt he would have cared too much even if he did. I bought a coffin, I dug a hole, I got inside and I closed the lid. I said to myself, this is crazy, what you're doing is crazy. But another part of me knew that it wasn't, that it was survival, and that I didn't have much time, that what felt like years in this world was actually just seconds. Oof, the dissociation from dysphoria does be like that. It is very messed up. So I waited. And then finally, the first spadeful of dirt hit the top of the box, and then another, and then another. I sang songs to myself. I counted to 10,000 without skipping any numbers. I pissed and I shit my pants, and I forced my mouth to produce whatever saliva it could muster, just so I'd have something to drink. 1 hour, 9 minutes, 41 seconds. On the commentary, Jane says, I feel like if you don't get it, you don't get it. I find it so funny that people, in a lot of the letterbox reviews of the film, people will be like, this long monologue that's just exposition, they're just telling us the story. It's like, is that what this is? I don't think so. I feel like if you're not emotionally keyed into the feeling of what happened and what is being described here, it's gonna just feel to you like exposition. But the idea of, like, this exposition is so beside the point to me. This is the emotional crescendo, and it's a story of defiance and becoming, and I want to hear you say it. I want to hear you, like, talk about your commitment. Again, this is why it's so much more important that Maddie's telling us this so we can see how it affected her and what she's trying to get across to Owen.
Yeah, I think it's super important. And this is the thing that I wanted to mention about a film you may have seen called The Matrix.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
Tell me more about this film.
So once Neo in The Matrix has been freed from The Matrix and returns to The Matrix for the first time, he drives past the noodle shop, right?
Yeah.
And he says this, I used to eat there, really good noodles. I have these memories from my life. None of them happened. What does that mean? And what does Trinity say? I bet you can tell me.
I don't remember her exact line. I'm very bad at that.
He says, what does that mean? And she says that the Matrix can't tell you who you are. She
can't
just
tell
cuts
you
him
who
off.
You are.
Right.
That's right.
Cuts him off. And to me, I have always loved that because if you're talking in terms of philosophy, her statement means one thing. If you're talking in terms of transness, it means, I think, something else, which is this, that what this world tells you about you doesn't actually mean anything, right?
Yeah.
That the Matrix doesn't have the ability to tell you who you are because it doesn't know you as a person. In fact, it's going out of its way to make you something else, right?
Right.
But you can philosophize about this. You can intellectualize this forever. And it seems like Neo is about to have this intellectual moment where he's going to, like, what does it all mean, right? And Trinity says it doesn't matter what it means. All that matters is that you're here. The Matrix doesn't own you, right?
Right.
And I think that's why it's so important that Maddie is telling this story. Maddie is pleading with Owen to do something for himself. She is She's not just telling him what happened to her. And I think you could even say that there is a sense in which none of this actually happened at all, right?
Right.
But I think it is the act of Maddie's connection with Owen, sharing her feelings and her own sensations, that is the best gift she can give,
Yeah.
right? And that's the best gift the best gift the film can give. And so filming those scenes as flashbacks would not have helped. They would have just muddied the waters even further.
Yeah. And there's something else about the relief that you can feel when you first talk to somebody who is trans and you know that you're not alone. Like you're not
Yes.
the first person who's ever felt this. Someone else has felt this and gone through it too.
And that's meaningful.
It really is.
Yeah.
1 hour, 11 minutes, 31 seconds. Look at Maddie now, the most gender neutral in appearance that she's ever been. I know this isn't saying you have to be androgynous to be non-binary, mind you, but visually it works as an excellent metaphor for showing her between or outside of man and woman. I screamed as loud as I could for help. I apologized for the whole thing. Maddie told Owen to never do that, but we see even here she was doubting herself. And I begged God for someone to come along and save me. I tried and tried to claw my way out, but that burnout guy had packed the dirt in too tight, just like I had asked him to do. And then, after I don't know how long, I felt myself start to leave myself. And it was like I was watching myself on a TV from across the room, and I was moving further and further away from the screen until the screen was so small that I couldn't even see myself anymore. 1 hour, 12 minutes, 33 seconds. Maddie hits a button that turns the constellations in the planetarium into art of fully realized beings. This is when Maddie flipped the switch on herself from being a mere outline of who she was to becoming all of who she is. She approaches Owen slowly. And then I was clawing my way up out of the ground. And then I was at the surface, gasping for air, rain pouring down on me, thunder and lightning. And I was finally back there, back at our old sleepaway camp. And just like I was waking up from a bad dream, that whole life, that whole reality where I was Maddie Wilson drifted away, like a brief hallucination that after a few moments I could hardly even remember, and all those memories that had felt so real washed away with the rain back at our old sleepaway camp, and I was me, I was finally me again, and it was the season six premiere. The season six premiere, again, being the escape from the Midnight Realm, transitioning to escape dysphoria and find euphoria and the authentic self.
Yeah, the season premiere that didn't happen in the quote unquote real world, that the season
Yeah.
premiere that never was, and is thus deemed impossible, right? That this should be
Yeah.
impossible. But that is the moment of trans exhilaration, you know, that is the moment where you're like, oh, I did it. You know, it's like you walk into a store and someone says, can I help you, miss? And you're like, oh my God,
What just happened?
something
Yeah.
happened, right?
Yeah.
I went across some huge something, and I came out on the other side and I survived. I,
Yeah.
you know, it's like that when people get the surgeries, you know, and they wake up from surgeries and they make a post, and that post says, I survived, bitch. And that
Yeah.
is, yeah, survival. We survive, we triumph, and that's amazing.
It is. Maddie's down on all fours, slowly crawling toward him, pleading. I tried looking for you, but Mr. Melancholy had covered his tracks too well. I knew you must be buried somewhere close by, but I didn't know where. And your signal that I used to be able to close my eyes and feel so vividly, was nowhere. I wasn't picking up anything on the psychic plane. She is so intense here, so passionate, so breathless. I found my heart, Isabel. Oh my God, I found yours too, and it was still beating, stored indefinitely in an industrial freezer. I left our hearts there because I knew I wasn't done yet, and I found Mr. Melancholy's cauldron. I found the Luna juice he used to send us to the Midnight Realm, and then I took a big sip straight out of the ladle. She knew confronting someone stuck where Owen is would remind her of how she felt when she was stuck there, and then those internalized transphobic thoughts and feelings we have that she fought so hard to overcome might come back. But she did it anyway because she couldn't abandon Owen to that. Again, we see the importance of community.
This is so real for me that when I am talking to people about, you know, who are just going through their initial transitions. It can be
Yeah.
very emotional for me, very painful for me, and it doesn't make me feel
Yeah.
good. Like it makes me
Yeah.
feel that shame and stuff starts to come back.
It drags up all those old feelings. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and
it's
it's
really
something I
hard.
really have to fight through. It's
Yeah.
bad.
Right. But because we want to help those people and help them get through it like we did, but it is not an emotionally easy thing to do.
Correct.
And I laid back down and I waited to fall back asleep. I knew I needed to come back here. I knew I needed to come back and save you so that the show can continue, so that we can get to season six. Owen, Maddie, Maddie, that's not my name. And I haven't told you anything tonight that you don't already know. Tell me you know it's true. You told me yourself you felt it. Remember, on the bleachers, you know what he put inside you. She's talking about the static, the internalized transphobia of transphobic society.
She's also talking about how transness, I think, is something that we feel inside of ourselves. It's
Yeah.
not something that like you can't take a blood test, and it's going to tell you that you're trans.
Yeah.
You can't look at a set of criteria, you can't,
There's no checklist.
there's no checklist, right? You feel it in your bones.
Yep.
What does the oracle say? It's something you just know from
Balls to bones.
balls to bones.
Yep. Balls to bones.
Balls to bones. God, what a great line.
I know, isn't it? 1 hour, 16 minutes, 17 seconds. Owen shakes his head no. Denial. This is insane. I remember. I remember playing in the snow, driving to baseball games with my dad, cooking with my mom. He remembers that boys like sports and girls belong in the kitchen. He remembers conforming to the false cis binary. 1 hour, 16 minutes, 28 seconds. On the commentary, Jane repeats what Maddie said, that Mr. Melancholy put the static inside Owen, replaced his insides, and put his heart somewhere else. Owen told her he felt it on the bleachers. And then, in the commentary, Bridget says, to keep you drugged, also known as taking the blue pill, for you Matrix and Begin Transmission fans out there. The static, the internalized transphobia, is there to keep you from self-actualization. 1 hour, 16 minutes, 38 seconds. Maddie, those memories were put there to distract you, to keep you trapped. The distractions and obligations of your life to keep you from realizing and accepting your truth. Matrix Resurrections deals with that a lot, too. 1 hour, 16 minutes, 49 seconds. Owen denies it. He cannot accept the truth that he buried Isabel, or accept that he then tried to get back to her, tried to remove the Luna juice of his internalized transphobia. But we see here it's still won out. He's made his choice. Owen, it's just the suburbs. And what are the suburbs? A liminal space between rural and urban, a little bit of a purgatory between one place and the next, pre and post transition. No shade, though, to people who live in suburbs and like them.
It's also one of it's just such a sterling denial because it has the ring of truth to it that like, no, we're not special. We're not superheroes. We're just regular people who exist in the context of the world around us. And that
Yeah.
context tells us that we can't be special because we live in the
Yep.
suburbs, right? That the
Yeah.
whole system is geared to make us not believe we are who we know we are. And that drives us crazy.
It does. It's maddening.
Yeah.
I feel like the suburbs also is kind of like an idealized American
Oh, sure, the white picket
dream.
fence and the like
Mm-hmm.
nuclear family and all
Married,
that
have
crap. Yeah.
kids, have house, have a yard, go to your
Yeah.
job that you probably hate, but that doesn't matter
Yeah.
because this is all you ever wanted. Be like
Yeah.
everyone else.
Right.
Great schools, great grocery stores, great fun centers.
1 hour, 17 minutes, 9 seconds. Maddie, we need to go back down into the soil. We need to bury the false self so the true self can emerge. Tonight, the longer you wait, the closer you get to suffocating. Oof. The Matrix franchise deals with this too, about how the older you are, the more obligations to society you have, the more you have to lose, and the harder it is to do. But Matrix Resurrections also very, very pointedly says it's never too late. Maddie, I've got everything ready. No one will find us there. 1 hour, 17 minutes, 46 seconds. A shot of Owen in the dress, but now it's cropped to the same aspect ratio that the pink opaque was, so it's real.
It's
but
real.
It is filled with static and awash in fear. He lowers his head and the green dysphoria towel behind him fills the screen. Super text. 1 hour, 18 minutes, 13 seconds. They walk across the football field like before. Maddie is his axe to help him battle Mr. Melancholy. But unlike before, his head is not held high. It's drooped. His eyes are on the ground. He's dressed in despair. Maddie, I know it's scary. That's part of it. 1 hour, 18 minutes, 39 seconds. Owen, it's the Drain Lords. It's just like the Drain Lords. It's not real if I don't think about it. Oh, babe, we've all been there. You and me and Neo in the Matrix and almost every trans person ever. But not thinking about our transness doesn't make it go away. It just makes the misery continue. Maddie takes his hand. They're exactly on the 50-yard line. Maddie's gotten him halfway there. He tackles her and then runs off. Again, his fear has gotten the better of him. And remember from back in part one, a little after 1 minute and 28 seconds, when Owen saw the first commercial for the Pink Opaque, there was a sad shot of Isabel waving goodbye or trying to get Owen to notice her, foreshadowing this exact moment when he chose to leave her behind. He keeps doing that. Will he ever overcome it? Can he? Time will tell. Thanks for being here, Lila.
Thanks for having me again.
I'm glad we got it actually recorded this time.
We did get it recorded, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Tilly Bridges and Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The Google Doc and social media versions of this week's topic and all past topics are available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky, Twitter, and Hive, on Mastodon at tillybridges@mastodon.social, at facebook.com/tillysbridges, and on Insta and Threads at heckyeahtillybridges. And you can find Susan on most of those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.
I burped.
Oh. That's fine.
Oops.
That's real.
That's real.